I do know who you are. I do know what I want. We have a very particular set of skills. Skills we've acquired over a certain amount of time. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. So I will find you, and I will interview you for the Gaffer Tapes.
State your name and record.
Okay, Gary Johnson, that's the easy bit.
Yeah.
This will take an hour now, sorry Dave, but no, I'll shorten it.
Yeah.
Newmarket Town.
Yep.
Start, Cambridge United, Kettering Town, Watford. After Watford was Latvia. After Latvia was Yeovil, Bristol City, Yeovil again. A little bit later, Northampton, Peterborough, Cheltenham, and Torquay, and I think
that's it. That's currently it. Torquay, and that's probably all the time we have, you know. But
it's nice to meet you.
And it is a bit like I've done a few of these now, but this is, you know, you're by far the most experienced guy that I've interviewed, and you know, I was driving here thinking, where do you start with that? You know, where do you? I think I'd like to maybe start with not so much now, but where do you get the drive still to want to to be involved in it?
Well, you don't know. You don't know you're going to have the drive for whatever it is, 35, 40 years. You know, you just go from season to season. And I think if you've had a little bit of success and you've enjoyed it, which obviously we all enjoy the success, then you want more success. So you want to stay in it. I enjoy working with players. There's lots of ups and downs, as all managers know. You know, there is a saying out there that I either make you or break you. I don't mean, you know, that's not to be nasty, but I do like players that have got the same mental state as myself and that want to be winners.
Is that, and we will jump around, Gary, because I'm not trained to do this stuff. It's just I've sort of sat in the dugout. Happy days. So you understand what that is now, and you understand what you want as a player now. When did you feel you got to that? Was that from minute one? Did you think, well, they've got to have my mentality? And we'll talk about the change in player over the length of time. But if you go back to the start, when did you, and I know it's, you're going to have to pluck something there, but can you remember thinking, no, I'll tell you what I need? Because you didn't start at Newmarket and go, I know what I need and I know what I want and I know where I am.
Yeah.
Talk me through that process, back if you can go back to the start.
Yeah, I can go back to the start. I mean, I was a player manager at Newmarket Town. It was I was running soccer coaching schools at the time. I'd just finished playing, really, and started going into part-time as far as, you know, not being full-time anymore. Mm. Business was going well, so I decided to stay part-time a little while with Newmarket player, and then I went Newmarket player manager. It was Cambridge, really, that took me from Newmarket. And then once it became professional and every day, and I did every job at Cambridge leading up to the manager, and we had good success there. Maybe if we hadn't have had the success that we had at Cambridge, maybe, I'm not sure that I would have lasted in the game because I wasn't a famous player as such.
Yeah.
When John Beck took over at Cambridge, the club asked me to be his assistant.
Can I just ask, what was the relationship there with John? Did you know John away from the game? Or
no, not really.
How did that sort of happen?
No, the manager was Chris Turner, God bless him.
Yes, he's not really sure.
But he was a larger-than-life character, and he knew me from up at Newmarket. It's obviously Newmarket, Cambridge are very close. And he invited me in to be reserve team manager at first, reserve team player manager. And then he saw me play. That was on me door, Gary Johnson, reserve team player manager. And one day I came in and the player had been scrubbed out. And I knew that was a time.
A subtlety,
So I became reserve team manager. And while I was reserve team manager, John Beck was assistant manager to Chris Turner.
Yeah.
Chris Turner decided to pack up he wasn't very well anyway, but anyway, packed up. And the board asked me and John Beck to take over, John as manager and me as assistant.
And was that a relationship that had to be forged, or was it a relationship that was okay?
No,
or
it was there. That relationship was there because we'd worked together under Chris Turner.
Yeah.
We were both similar ages. We were both new to the game, certainly the coaching game. I think we were 13th in the fourth division, the old fourth division, when we took over. And we decided to go and get some bright young players to get us up the leagues. We knew that we couldn't afford to go and get the ready-made ones. So we worked very hard in trying to get players that had been released from the top clubs.
Sorry to interrupt you, but because this is important as well. And the other thing about this, you'll find, Gary, is that, and every manager's been the same, because we're programmed to answer in a particular amount of time, because we do a 5-10 minute interview. This is an hour long, so I want to be a bit more in depth with it, you know. So when you say that you worked hard to get young players, talk me through that, because recruitment's been a massive thing when I've talked about this series. Did you know that from even back then, that recruit, and tell me about how you worked. What did you do? How did you build that portfolio?
Well, as you say, the recruitment was very, very important. And then we felt we needed, because we were young, and just getting...
What age?
I think I was probably around about 35, 36.
Yeah, maybe.
Becky had only just finished playing as well. He had a certain method that he wanted to...
Which was?
Get us. Well, it was very much the percentage game. He believed that if you got the ball in the opposition final third 212 times, unbelievable figure, you couldn't lose a game.
Now, really?
The reason why that could be true is that to get the ball in the final third 212 times, the opposition are nowhere near your goal.
it's a lot of time.
And it worked very, very well. And we had a statistician, Neil Lanham, his name was, and we called him Reaches, and... if we got 212 reaches, it was right. We couldn't lose the game, and we didn't lose many games from that time on.
We
had to get players, when you talk about recruitment.
Yes.
That could play that system. So they had to be athletic, they had to be quick, strong. Defenders had to play the ball first time. They couldn't have two touches.
Yeah.
Midfielders had to obviously get up and support. Every ball had to go in a corner.
So it's like the old hit the channel stuff?
Hit the channels. But our channels were a lot smaller than what we would class. You know, he used to have a 3 or 4 yard line inside the line, and that was where he wanted that ball to go, because they would then kick it out for a throw-in. We would then have a throw-in up at their end. That would be a reach, and generally there'd be something at the end.
Can you remember where that... Because this is fascinating. Where did he come up with that? Do you know where he came up with that from? Or?
I think it was, you know, in the old days, Charlie Hughes came up with...
Charles Hughes, facts on it, Football Association.
Not the possession, the percentage game. So, you know, the more you got it up the other end, the less chance of the others. But we had players like John Taylor, Dion Dublin, Lee Philpott, Mickey Cheatham. They were quick, they were strong. Yeah. They were enthusiastic. They wanted to win something. And we had defenders, Liam Dacey and Chappell. And we had players that were real mates, because we started winning right from day one. From day one, I think we went on a long winning run. We got from the fourth division to the third division. So to tell a player that he's just got to kick the ball first time into the corner... it's very difficult for him to believe that unless you're winning games.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we were winning games, and we ended up going. So every promotion, we had fourth division to the third, third to the second. And then we played Leicester in the semi-finals of the playoffs for what was the following year, the Premiership. So we actually went right through the leagues. I think only 1 year, you know, was a gap where we didn't quite make it. But Leicester beat us in that. Otherwise, Cambridge would have been in the Premiership at that time.
Sort of Wimbledon style? Wimbledon?
That would be close, but there was a lot more to it than that, because there was a lot of game management in our... In fact, the first game of the season we had as a fourth division team, because we were hitting it into the corners but didn't want it to go out of play, we sanded all the corners.
To deaden the pitch?
To deaden the pitch so that we could hit the ball like a golf shot up and down, and it would...
Well, I've seen your golf shots, so you know. Seriously.
And it would just stop.
And then we would play your percentages from it.
Quick wingers would, you know, get there, cross it, and they knew where it was going, because if you know that the defenders have only got one touch, they couldn't control it. They just had to play it in there. The goalkeeper could kick it from John Vaughan from the edge of his area right into that corner and give it a little bit of loft so it stayed in. So we was just relentless in what we were doing. The lads were loving it because obviously the
result,
Dion Dublin, you know, ended up going to Man United, etc. A lot of them had very good careers.
And how did, just to interrupt, so you're now coaching that. So this is the start of you as assistant manager on the coaching field. So you did he get you to buy into it early, or did
he had to get me to buy into it? I understood the percentage game, because you know what happens if you're 1-0 down with 5 minutes to go. You don't have 20 passes around the back, do you?
No.
So we used to play like we only had 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, from minute one.
And that was just absolutely relentless. And that gave me a real good grounding to how I would need to play. Like, for instance, when I ended up going to Cheltenham, our pitch was terrible. We couldn't play. I wanted to play football. First of all, I got the job at Cambridge when Becky left, and they wanted to see a different style because it wasn't quite working at the top level a little while. We'd lost all our good players. Yeah. It was hard to get other players to play that game and start again. Anyway, so it was my youth team that came. I had 2 or 3 seasons before that ended up coming through, and we ended up having to play a bit. So
was that, when you say play a bit, would that have put it more to your own stamp?
Yeah, I had to, yeah. I think the supporters, although they enjoyed the success, they wanted to see a little bit more football, because everywhere you go, if you're there 3 or 4 years, you have to start reinventing yourself a little bit. You know what I mean?
And when did you find, because that's a great shout, because you've been around long enough that that's not something you picked up then. Yeah. That's something you look back on.
That's right.
When did you pick that? When did you come? And now we're going to jump away, but can you remember when you sort of thought, I've got to sort of change who I am a little bit? And maybe you've done that 3 or 4 times, five times in your career.
I've done it 3 or 4 times, but the first time I was aware of it was when I went to Bristol City, and I was there 5 years.
Yeah.
And we got to the playoff final for the championship playoff final. Big game at Wembley. We lost 1-0. Dean Windass scored the goal.
Dean Windass. I was talking to PJ in a way. We were trying to, because I was at the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you had a couple of guys out with food poisoning as well. I remember going back anyway, I've interrupted you, but
that's right. Exactly. Yeah. Jamie McComb and Gavin Williams had the problems in that game. And we didn't start with our best team that we thought we was on the Friday. Do you know what I mean? Anyway. We did well that season, and then the next season was probably my third or fourth in a 5-year spell.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so good. We I think we finished 10th or something.
Can you remember why?
I can remember why. Yeah. What happens is when you get success at a club like Bristol City, which wasn't the biggest club. In the championship, of course, because we was in there, then people take your players.
Yeah.
And so you're having to keep rebuilding all the time. Every club I've been at, I've had to rebuild.
Double-edged sword success at times,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I did it at Cambridge, we had to rebuild. But we're doing an interview now, and can you imagine, I think I've had 1,500 games. Some of them in the conference, so it's non-league. So I'm not sure that I've reached. I think I'm right on the verge of 1,000 league games now.
Yeah.
So there's not many people done that.
No.
But I'm definitely on 1,500, 1,200, 1,300, whatever it is.
Easy.
Because of the non-league games. So you can imagine how many interviews that you do, and your tone, and you're disappointed when you've lost, you're happy when you've won. You know, you can't keep being clever with little chirpy funnies, you know, like with the same funny. And and then nowadays it's a little bit different because people don't see...
No political correctness and, you know, fan of similar age,
Yeah, you can't, you know, you have to think about everything you, you say, even in jest.
Is that just an oversight tracking? That I think that takes away from something. I think because when I've started to do this, a part of doing this is to try and get a bit more of the real guy, you know, you today and other people, because I think you become, and I certainly have done it myself at times, and you must have done it, Gary, because of the level you were at. You become defensive and worry of, you. People don't get you in the end. They get they get this the football manager. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that come out of that were you?
No, I think the reason why I've sustained jobs in the game, I think, is because I'm myself, and I don't think I'm any different in front of a camera or a microphone than I am normally, you know. And I think that because I don't want to act, I don't want to, if I'm angry, I'm angry, if I'm happy, I'm happy. I don't want to be angry and think, well, I better be happy today because it's not the right time to be angry. So, you know, I actually am what I am, how I'm feeling right this, this minute.
And are you the same in the dressing room?
I'm the same in the dressing room because I think the players need to know that when you say well done, you're not saying it just for the sake of saying it, to gee them up, you know, give them confidence for the next game. And if they haven't done well, then I can tell them, and I can tell them quite cleverly, angrily, disappointedly, knowing that they trust me, because you have to get that trust.
Absolutely, yeah.
So they trust what you say. I can be in somebody's face if I need to, as long as they're sitting down, of course.
Well,
no jokes.
No. It's not PC. No, I'll get slow. I'm not making a statement at all. Right.
So, because then when you told them they haven't done well, the next game when they have done well, they really appreciate it because they know actually he's telling me exactly how it is.
Is that something that's and as I said, we will jump around. Is that something that's changed over the years with experience, with not just experience, because I think experience teaches you a million things, but with the change of character within a dressing room? I think what's come up a lot in people who have interviewed who've been in the game for a period of time, that they all say that the character within the dressing room has changed. Football players have changed. So what I'm trying to ask you is that you've been very honest from day one. You've a reputation for being fiery in your younger days. You know,
more fiery now, mate.
Is it really? Would you say that?
I think so, because you can get more fiery in as much as that you because you've had the success. The lads, the players know that you're working with now, they know that you've been there and done it. So if I was screaming and shouting at them saying you need to do it, and I hadn't had a promotion, you're not going to last 5 minutes in the dressing room with players. So you build that up because you're saying, listen, I'm doing this for you now. My career's towards the end of it now. And I just want to see you having fun, you playing at Wembley in a playoff final, you getting a promotion.
Because you've had it.
Yeah, because I've had it. And you can't say that if you hadn't had it. And they also have more belief in what you're saying and doing, whether it's negative or positive, if you've done it. You know, I've got a decent record.
And you're saying, decent. Listen, no, decent. You're it's better than decent, to say the very least. But you as well within yourself, you as Gary Johnson within yourself, you must believe that as well in your own head that you know, because you've been there, done it, got the T-shirt a million times. Yeah. But so I believe you when you tell me you can be fairer now than you used to be, because I suppose within your own head, you've justified, as you do make the journey, you fall down, pick yourself up, go, get the highs, get the lows. So that's something that makes you the guy you are today. Let me put it this way, and I can shut up for 5 minutes. What Gary Johnson, that managed it the very, very start at Cambridge, or if you want to go back to the end, to Gary Johnson, that's going to go in the dugout tomorrow. What's the big differences? I know there'll be similarities.
Yeah, I think the big difference is in the early days, you haven't got that experience. You believe in what you're doing, that's for sure. And you have to pass that belief on to your players by them winning games, what we said before.
Yeah.
But later on in your career, because once you start winning things, it's like if you're winning games, the confidence comes with those players, and often they're happy to join you because you've had two or three promotions previously, and they want a promotion.
Yeah.
So as you get older, I think as you get older, that players respect you more anyway. It's an age thing. I think
the age gap becomes, they stay the same age, you get older.
That's right. And when I'm 40 and some of them are 35 and some of them have had, 500 league games I've been in the game a couple of seasons, then you have to. Yeah. But I think, again, that to get that, earn that trust, you've got to get it right in training.
Yeah.
You've got to find the right personality for that group. You've got to let them know what they can and can't get away with. And you can't act, as I said. You've got to be yourself. And then if they like you, they like you. I mean, I always say to the lads, if you like Tommy Cooper, for instance.
Some of them will go, who? He's an old comedian.
If you like him, then you'll laugh at anything he says, even if it's the worst joke in the world.
Absolutely,
you'll laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't like him, you're not going to laugh, even if it's the best joke in the world.
Yeah.
And I think I can judge a group sometimes by my banter and how they're reacting and how they're feeling to me. Because I know if they're not laughing, they're not in it with you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to move people on, not because they haven't laughed at your jokes.
Absolutely.
You can imagine them all, like making out, they're all laughing just to stay in the team. It doesn't, I'll soon suss it out.
Yeah.
But to get that feeling of we're all in this together and actually I'm trying to help you. You know, I think that's the big thing. I'm trying to help you and I'm going to do everything I can to make you believe that. And then if they do improve, and then players, as I say, once you get that success and they move on and double their contracts somewhere else, some of them are playing in the Premiership that I've worked with, that I've had loans that are in the Premiership, the other thing is, I think, which is nice, is whenever I meet anyone that I've worked with, they still call me Gaffer.
Well, that's a respect,
yeah,
isn't it?
Whether they're with me or not. And so I think most of them realised I improved their lot.
Yeah.
They was able to feed their family better and so on and have a better quality of life. And that's, so every year I can sort of say that to every new group that I have.
Yeah.
And this is what I've done previously. And it's not, oh, well done me, because I'm not going to get a Man United job now.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is I'm saying, I can do the same for you if you give me your time and effort.
Yeah, absolutely. And around that, there's other relationships that come around that. And I'll go into chairman in a minute because I think it's a big relationship between a manager and a chairman. But what about your staff? How have you been? You've been in football for the length of time and you've been every level.
Mm.
So most of the people I've spoken to have had more or less the same assistant, the same coach, because they've been in and around and maybe gone up one level.
Mm.
But realistically, you've been at six or seven levels off the top of my head from sort of confident. So you must have had various staff members, various assistants, various coaches.
Mm.
How do you see that? How is that? Is that a, have you a plan for that? Or why does that happen for you?
I've never planned for it. I think that this is the only club, Torquay, that I'm at now, where I've actually brought a member of staff from the previous club, Aaron Downs, who bought you that drink, by the way. Aaron Downs, that's it. Where I brought Aaron to Torquay from Cheltenham. Everywhere else, I give the staff that are there the opportunity to show me, because a number two, if I'd have had him for the 30 years I've been a manager, he's going to be bored with me, I'm going to be bored with him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So, for instance, Aaron Downs was a big Torquay player when they were, you know, he was player of the year and all that sort of thing. So yeah. that was a good appointment to bring him to Torquay because yeah. everybody knew him, respected him as a
yeah.
player. I'm getting older. He, you know, he can do a lot of the things that I would have used to have done. Yeah. So I used to do the warm ups.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
used to do
yeah.
everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now,
but I think it's good to move away from that stuff as yeah. well. And for, you know, I think the less is more if you that, want.
That's right.
Yeah.
But also, I wanted to bring him because he knows my game. He knows what we're, and it's his game. He was captain at Cheltenham when we got our yeah. promotion there. So that was perfect. The second time I went back to Yeovil, Terry Skiverton and Darren Way were players under me the first time that I was at Yeovil. And so they were their manager and coach. And I said I'd only take over if they were still there because I knew they were real stalwarts at the club. I didn't want them...
So although they'd been the management team yeah. that you were replacing...
Yes.
Well, that's a brave decision, Gary, isn't it? Well, people would... There's not many people would...
But we had great success.
Yeah.
Terry Skiverton was my captain.
Yeah.
Darren Way was played with my son, Lee, you know, as yeah. a midfield yeah. too, during our
but
years.
I get all that. I get all yeah. that. But there's a big trust in that statement.
A massive trust.
Did you meet with them? Did you? How did? What, yeah, what did? I did talk me a bit them. Through that because well, that's sorry to interrupt, but that's yeah. something different. That's
yeah.
there's not many people, and I think I hope you'd agree with me. There's not many people who go into a club and go, "Yeah, I'm replacing you, but I want you to stay here, yeah. even though you know that's each right. other." Talk me through how that.
Well, I think it's summed up by Terry, who was the manager and had to step down and be my number two. Said he would only have done that for me because I was his manager and he respected me and he knows that you know it was. Wasn't going great at Yeovil and that yeah. we could do. And, you know, the picture I love is me, Terry and Darren at the having beaten Brentford at the Wembley, you know, playoff yeah. final yeah. to get Yeovil into the championship.
And
all cuddling and everything's yeah. hunky-dory because we all made the right decisions.
What made you trust them?
I trusted them because I trusted them as players. Absolutely, I trusted them as players. We always kept in touch. You always know you can trust somebody when you know they keep in touch over the years, and you when you bump into them, there's a little cuddle, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe not now.
I'm asking this more for people who listen to it because, and I don't get me wrong, I'm shocked that I don't think I've done that in my life, and I'm you'd need to talk me into that one, but I think it's a brave thing, and I think it's it. So people are interested in why, yeah. why would you do it? But then,
well, they were perfect for yeah. me at that time. Yeah. They were there. They knew me. I knew yeah. them. I trusted them. They trusted me.
And well, success. Well, the proof's in the pudding. Check exactly, the record.
Exactly.
What about moving on? All right. What about and I don't want you to name names here. If you want to, by all means, do. but it's more to do with the trials and tribulation stuff. Has there been times when it hasn't worked? With staff, has there been times when you've had to?
I had a spell at Northampton when I wasn't well at the time for a little while, and we was I took over with about 10 games to go at Northampton because they were not going very well. I just left Peterborough, and I'll come to Peterborough in a second.
Yeah.
And I was getting chest pains and a little bit of angina, and I didn't quite know what it was. And anyway, I ended up having to go to the hospital, and I ended up having my first stent in an artery that was blocked,
yeah.
partly blocked.
Yeah.
And because we was in trouble, I didn't want to not be there. So against all the advice, I went there and the doctor said, look, I'm happy for you to go back there, but you mustn't do anything for another, whatever it was, 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay, listen, I'm going to have to interrupt you. This is massive stuff because we'll come back to the assistance in a minute.
We're going to come back to loads of stuff.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time, don't worry. You know, well, I might even do a part two in another couple of weeks because there's too much good stuff.
All right.
This point, this has come up in health. Yeah. Health and to be fair, mental health is a big thing, and it seems to be like a buzz thing at the minute yeah. where people talk about it. And I think it's you know I'd certainly call you old school, and I hope you wouldn't take that as a negative. Right. I call myself old school,
yeah, sure.
And I think it's good for younger managers to hear that side of it from someone with that's done what you've done.
Yeah.
So even though you know you're not well,
yeah,
even though you're in a position where you have a problem with your heart, you still felt you had to be there once. So I want you to talk me through what that's about. And the second part of it, which I've asked most people, is how do you deal with the bad times personally, away from the game?
I don't think nobody really deals with it well, because we're all human beings, aren't we? You got to have a strong family, that's for sure.
You've got that. Well, I know your family reasonably well, yeah.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And, especially your wife, that you actually go home to, and your kid, although, Lee eventually became a manager sort of thing, had a front row seat. But it's the wife, really. Because it's them that generally, if you haven't got a cat, then it's the wife.
It gets kicked, yeah.
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
But over the years, even though you're as disappointed as you were in your first few defeats, even now, I'll go home disappointed, but I won't show it as much.
I'll
cope with that. Because in the early days, and you talk about young managers,
yes,
you're always worried that you might be a one-season wonder. Do you know what I mean? I wanted to stay in the game.
Yeah.
And so you knew that to stay in the game, you've got to win something. So when you pick a team that you go to for your first job, you've got to go somewhere where you think they've got a chance. Now, I'll be honest with you, every job I've taken because I felt it had a chance. The Yeovil job came up. They were second in the league. The manager had resigned, so I thought, well, they were second. They must have a chance. Peterborough had a chance. All of them.
Well, they don't always. Sometimes you take them from nowhere to having the chance, but you still see that there's a chance.
For instance, I had two interviews and got the jobs, one at Coventry, one at Derby. But it was at the time when they were struggling, needed to sell players, and I'm thinking, this was when I was at Yeovil, it was going well and everything. Yeah. And, I went and did a couple of interviews, had a couple of interviews. And I just thought, you know what? I'm only going to have 3 or 4 months here because I don't think they're as good as what they should be.
Yeah.
And I'm happy at Yeovil at the moment because we were still, going up the leagues and that. So I actually turned down jobs that I thought at the time I would have struggled with that group.
So that tells me something. That tells me something that, and you can deny it if you want. If you go to Derby or Coventry at that time, financially that's an awful lot better than the club that you're at, with the greatest respect to Yeovil then. Yeah. So that tells me money's not the first thing on your sheet.
No, but it's not the first thing on the sheet. And if you've been in the game as long as I have, then of course you earn money because you've had a job for 30 years.
Yeah.
But it's not the money. It's the, if you go to somewhere where you only last 6 months, it's only a year's money probably.
Yes.
Because all the contracts say it's a 2-year contract, but we can get rid of you after 12.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or 6 months or something.
Absolutely. Pay off. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So in effect, I wanted to stay in the game. Yeah. I didn't want to just earn a quick buck and then not be in the game anymore.
Yeah.
Honestly, I do love the game. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think you need. Because I genuinely, it's one of the things, and that's why I sort of started with is why do you still do it? I want to get you back to the period when I don't want to stay on it forever, but I think it's important when you're talking about, we're talking about your family and the period where you're the first time you had the stand in. Mm. How do you sell that at home? How do you go to the missus and go, I need to go to football? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do understand.
And it's maybe a question. And if you're not comfortable with any of it, don't answer it.
Yeah, no, but fine,
Well,
over the years, because of an hereditary problem with one of my arteries,
yes,
I ended up having about 3 or 4 stents. It got to the point where I was coming home from holiday and saying, let's stick another stent in. Do you know what I mean? And I ended up a few years.
I laugh. It's not funny, but it's like.
No problem. I ended up with a triple heart bypass because the doctors said to me that he felt that I was strong enough to actually have the bypass.
Yes.
To give me longer and more energy for me football and all that sort of stuff, without having to, so he could bypass the problem bit.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And he's put another 20
Jim answered my question.
What was the question?
How did you sell it at home?
Ah, that's a good question. I think if your wife's come up with you, which my wife did right from day one, she was 17, 18, and I was 19, 20. So we were together when I was a professional footballer. And then when I went into... So she's been there for the journey, for the whole journey. So she knows she don't want me at home. Because she knows if I was a bricklayer or something, I'd be miserable all the time. So she, because she grew up with it, she understood the passion for it.
Yeah.
Especially now, of course, when her son then became a football player and then her son became a manager and she's now got a son as a manager and her husband as a manager.
Yeah.
So, you know, she deserves the medals.
And
She should be holding the trophies up, really.
Yeah, right.
And there were times, you know, I can't lie to you, where she wanted me to do something else. You know, because especially when you're ill, she would always ask the doctor, is this stress too much for him? And the doctor would always sort of half be on my side and go, well, he, you know, takes it easy and doesn't get too... and sometimes stress is quite healthy for your heart, if your heart's okay. You know what I mean? And
I wish you'd have told me that a few years ago. But
Well, because it's not... It's a different... It's not stressful all the time.
Yeah.
And of course, there's highs and lows again.
Yeah.
But you go with a doctor's advice. You know, I remember just while we're on it, while I was having the bypass, just before I went down to have the bypass, the doctor that did it was actually the father of one of Lee's players playing with Bristol City.
Joking.
The doctor was Dr. Bryan, and Joe Bryan was Lee's left back playing for Bristol City because Lee was manager there.
Unbelievable.
So I remember just before I went down, I said, Doc, you realise if this doesn't go well, your son will never play Bristol City again.
No pressure there. That's mad.
Which was unbelievable. Anyway, really, I probably touched wood. I've been right as rain.
Yeah.
You know, since I had the
bypass. Well, you seem
three years
ago.
Yeah. I think if I thought that I was pushing it too far, I'll owe it to all my family too.
Well, I suppose you're at a stage of your career now where, listen, I don't for a minute think you've eased off and on your drive. I don't know you well, but I know you well enough when I've seen you work in that, the drive's still there. But I think there also has to come a period of your career where you try and enjoy it a bit more, and that sounds stupid, but that side of it, you know. And but I'd want to take you, you know, because we could be here for a fortnight the way this is going. And it's good, and I'm loving it. But if it's 1 hour, I told you, I promise you.
Problem,
but the other big relationship is obviously the manager and the chairman. And you've had, and we'll come back to the assistants in a game because I want to go back to the Northampton. Maybe we'll do Northampton before we go to chairman. We started talking about the assistants at Northampton, your staff at Northampton, and when we moved on to your health issue, but I said it didn't work. And I interrupted you. Why didn't it work at Northampton then with your staff?
I think it didn't work because when I went there and, you know, the chairman was fine and I was happy with the club, but the club was on a bit of a downer at the time anyway. And I took the last, I think it was probably about 10 games, and the club was in a bit of trouble because they had a group of lads that were in a, you know, bottom reaches of the, not quite in the relegation, but in the bottom six or seven.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit precarious because you're taking on a group that are fifth, sixth from bottom, with four going down, I think it was. But I wanted to take it early, and I've done that at other jobs as well. I've done it at Cheltenham, and I've done it a couple of other times, where I've took on a club to suss it out, you know, because... But when I went to Northampton, it had a group of lads that were on long contracts but weren't good enough, to stay up. And we had to work very, very hard. And we stayed up, second and last game of the season. And then the following, and everybody was happy, you know, oh, well yeah. done, Gary Johnson's yeah. kept us up. And then the next season, because I think I can put out there an enthusiasm and an excitement for scoring goals, which I've done with all my team, yeah. and I've got some players in and that. And we didn't particularly start well. We wasn't in the relegation anyway. We didn't particularly start well. And so all of a sudden, I then had my problem with the heart stuff. And the doctor said, don't get involved after we'd done the first
thing. Yeah, yeah.
But I had to be there because I needed to keep it going and then to see that I was there.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do the bit sitting in the dugout, coming out and screaming and shouting at the lads. Yes. So I gave that to my assistant, who was an old player there, and it was great.
Yeah.
But I think the crowd thought I'd lost interest.
Yeah.
Now, at the time, you don't really want to let the football world know that you've had a heart problem. Even
absolutely.
Though it's just a stent, and lots of people have stents.
Yeah, and you can back a few years. So yeah, absolutely.
Probably
yeah.
The mistake I made there was I didn't say that that's what I had, because it was all a secret, you know. And then, so obviously a group of fans decided that I wasn't happy in my job.
Interesting.
And they didn't see me out there screaming and shouting. And
which had been how you'd been for your career.
Exactly.
How was the chairman with you with that?
He was fine. I'm not even sure. He knew at the time.
He just kept it really quiet.
I'm sure I must have mentioned it to him, because otherwise it wouldn't have been right. But
yeah,
I wanted to keep it to a short, because it's a bit of a shock when that happens. You know, you've had heart surgery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like now, I see it as just a small thing compared to, you know, what I eventually
had. Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
But there is an after effect, and there's a like a hangover of it mentally. There must be, you know.
Yeah, I got over it okay, because the consultants that I was working with were the same consultants all the time, and they were telling me as it was, you know, like, listen, you can carry, you know. My wife kept saying, can he carry on in football? And I kept saying, there's no reason why he can't carry on in football.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know that sometimes I can have a right rear up.
But
anyway, they were giving me the confidence, and I had regular checkups. So I was regularly on.
And I think we've covered. They've been very honest with it, and I don't want to, you know, with a career like you've had. I'm keen to go on with the assistance. But see, the problem with you, Gary, is you've had so many experiences up the levels I'd love it. But I want to touch on chairman as well, you know, and to try and limit it because of the amount of clubs you've had. Tell me about your first one, because I think your first one's important. And then tell me about your best one and your worst one.
Oh, that's difficult.
Yeah.
They're all still alive, so...
You don't have to give me names if you don't want, but I'd like to hear your experience.
Well, the start of it was the Cambridge champion.
Yes,
And he gave me a good start, because we had a good relationship. He wanted it to go well, because, you know, it went so well before then. John Beck as manager, and Michelle, it went a little bit flat for a season or so.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to give me the job. So he wanted to make it work. So he did what he could. We sold Dion Dublin and Man United for £1 million. You know what I mean? So
that helps.
Exactly. Steve Claridge went with a few. Bob John Taylor went. So we ended up, I had to rebuild, if you like. And he was fine, because I got on well with him. When I went to Yeovil, John Fry was the chairman. It was funny, my brother Pete, who you know, he said, and a friend of mine who's a newspaper reporter, Graham Nicholas, they said to me, there's a job going, when I come back from Latvia, there's a job going at Yeovil. Do you fancy? I said, where's Yeovil? I didn't even know where it was. I was living in London.
Yeah.
And I was going on holiday on the Saturday, and I had to go up on Friday. And I went, no, I'm not, I don't. Come on, we're going to drive you up there, see what it's. And we went up there. We had a look at it, went up there. I thought the board sounded good. The chairman sounded keen. Went on my holidays on my ship, and then a message came through that they wanted me to take the job.
Yeah.
And from that moment on, they were brilliant for me. The owner was a a man called John Gutterwatch and John Fry was the chairman, and they were like brothers to me, or you know, like my dad. Do you know what I mean? And of course, the better and better it got, but even if we'd lost the game, they were still the same sort of personalities towards me.
Yeah.
I had a really good relationship with John Fry, the chairman, because when I was going out for interviews, when the Oval were going so well, I said to him, I'd like to go to these interviews, but I'm only going to tell you, and if you let me go, then I'll make sure that if I decide to come back, nobody's none the wiser.
Yeah.
If I decide to go there, it's because you've helped me and it's Derby or Coventry or whatever it is. And both times we had a little tear in her eye that I went to the interview, and also had a little tear in her eye that I said, I'm staying. You know what I mean? So that was unbelievable that I could, because otherwise if you've put it out there that, oh, you know, he's going to Derby, he's going to, you know, lead the club and all that sort of thing, and then for some reason you have the interview and you don't get it and you've got to come back, you've got your tail between your legs a little bit, and then people go.
And I think supporters sometimes don't understand that it's your job, it's your profession, that you've got the right to go, you've earned the right to go to these interviews, and it doesn't mean you don't like where you are, it doesn't mean that you're not going to try, but supporters think differently about their football club, and I think you're right that you try and keep that under wraps as much as you can.
I think some people like to throw it out there. Agents of managers will say, you know, Liverpool want him or something, and I'm like, just to get a better contract at the club he's at, you know what I mean? So that happens, but I never really wanted to do that, because I think, you know, it's cheating the club that you're at a little bit, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so he was fine.
Yeah.
I went to Bristol City, and obviously Steve Lansdowne was a fantastic chairman, you know, the first sort of billionaire I've worked under. He was very prudent with his finances, quite rightly, because he was going to build a Bristol sport rather than just the Bristol football. And he's got the rugby, he's got ladies teams and hockey teams and everything. And he backed me when we needed to, obviously getting all the way to
One game away from the biggest league in the world.
Unbelievable that should happen. And then again, the following year was difficult, because we'd got there and everybody wanted you to get there before. Again, we'd lost five or six of our top players to other championships.
Yeah, success. But there's a hangover comes with that, and that trying to get the lads back to work is a very, very difficult thing to do.
And I've been there like 4 years by this time. I still had a couple of years on a contract that I'd signed. And it was amicable. We both agreed.
Here's one. Right now, I read that. I actually read that today. That because the old mutual consent. I didn't know how to spell mutual, but I learned it when I went into management.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to say that I've left clubs by mutual consent.
Yeah.
Where I haven't, I've been sacked.
Yeah.
But I've gone put mutual consent.
Yeah, sure.
So you're telling me that this was genuine.
Well, it was absolutely genuine, and the reason why we proved it was genuine is that we did the closing press conference together.
Right.
So he was able to say, we thank Gary. You know.
And what got you to that point?
I think I'd been there 5 years.
Yeah.
And it just needed a change. You know, it was a...
Gary, maybe?
Yeah, I think I probably needed a change, because, again, I think we was mid-table the following season.
Yeah.
But fans want that success again.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So... anyway, it didn't work out, and it was probably about time to go past his new, something fresh. I left, and Barry Fry, suddenly larger than life, came into my... Well, I knew him before, but a day after I left Bristol City, he called me and said, Gaz, I always wanted to work with you, mate.
I'd have loved you sitting in a couple of these meetings. Go on.
fantastic, yeah. And he said... Oh, me and you said, this weekend we're going to Orlando to meet the chairman. I said, is there an Orlando in
Peterborough?
He went, no, we're going to the States, mate. He said, and he wants to meet you. And so he said, bring your wife. My wife's coming, he said. So four of us will go out there. So I said to my missus, if we go out there, we've got to take the job.
you can't go into a dentist.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I went out and I met McCartney.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed working with him because I knew his character. I love Barry Fry. Barry Fry was a real close friend, and we worked together. He was director of football.
Yeah.
And wherever I've gone, I wouldn't have a director of football.
Yeah.
But Barry was already there, and he was more your uncle. Do you know?
Somebody.
What I mean?
I always say, who manages the manager?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's good to go into Barry and go, what do you think of that?
Yeah.
And you know, he's getting nothing. He just wants to tell you what he thinks.
And also, yeah. I felt that I needed a little bit of a buffer between me and Darren McCartney, because Darren McCartney's got so much passion for the game that if it doesn't go well, he definitely lets you know about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would slaughter you after a defeat. He'd be sitting just behind the dugout and he'd be going, Johnson, substitution. And even if I was going to make the substitution,
no, you're not.
I'd change my mind.
Yeah.
And it got a little bit like that, I suppose. But I actually enjoyed working for him because of his passion.
Was that easier now because you're now a vastly experienced manager? That's not something you want to hear in your first job or two, the chairman.
No, it was good experience again.
Because
he at least said it outwardly, whereas probably other chairman would
tell everybody else.
So I sort of trusted that at least he wasn't shouting about everyone else and in the ballroom moaning and not telling me sort of thing what he felt. And then sometimes I'd explain things to him. He was one that he was a scout himself on the internet, and he's found some good players, him and Barry, and they've brought him non-league players and sold them for millions, you know, just on them. But so we sort of had different ideas of what we needed to do. We were seventh in the league that first season. And Barry came in to me one day and he said, look, the chairman wants to. I'd stop returning texts and things like that. You know, I felt he went a little bit too far.
Yeah.
He wanted us to be top of the league and we were seventh just outside the playoffs. Yeah. And we sort of, when we lost the game, he was really upset. And I thought, well, do I want this all the time? And so anyway, we agreed to go. And Dara brought back Darren Ferguson, that he had before.
That's right.
When I took over, they'd got relegated the year before.
And
we'd done well. So I sort of half claimed that as my players. And now when I meet Dara and Barry, they throw their arms around me, I throw my arms around them. They say, you know, he was a great manager for it. You know, like when everybody looks back at what we did.
Yeah. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Yeah. And I think as well, I mean, I'm Farry and I've, you know, but when I look back on my career, I've got maybe two people that have seen him, I'd have them by the throat, and the other thousands I'd want to say hello to. You don't, as much as you've obviously fallen at that particular time. All right, well, here's one for you.
We didn't fall out necessarily.
Yeah,
it was just that we just had different paths.
Different ways. You want to? Yeah, yeah. Here's one for you. You know, I've just thought about it as a. I better be careful how I word this one. I'm saying there's probably two or three people in my sort of 25, 30 years in non-league, albeit at a lower level than yourself. There's probably two to three people in that amount of time who I've really got no time for. I've really, you know, I have a saying that I use for, I'll tell you when we're off record, but and I don't want names because that's not important. How many people you go, I'm definitely not having them. The bridges are burnt.
Absolutely, honest, none.
Well, that's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable because I also, when I go... I think I'm a good judge of character and personality, and I know when I'm comfortable with somebody and I know when I'm uncomfortable with somebody. And, you know, the clubs we haven't mentioned was Cheltenham. I got on great with the chairman there. I got on great with the chairman at Torquay.
Do you? And I want you to go on.
Yeah.
Do you see that quickly? Do you see it fairly quickly? Yeah, and
when you, they say you never get a second chance to create a first impression.
I think that's, and
I've learned over the years that I can sort of do that. And then if I've got a little sort of feeling that it's not right, then I couldn't risk it.
Yes,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Sorry, I stopped you, and I want you to go on.
It was Paul Baker at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
The thing that happened at Cheltenham was, and I understand this as well, is that Paul Baker was going to stand down. And so a lad that was on the board wanted to become chairman. And there was a vote and he became chairman. And he was younger than me. He was one that was, he put a lot of advertising into the club. So he was a supporter. I think he wanted his own man. I was sort of probably too old, too experienced for him as a new chairman. And to be fair, he had a lot of friends in the game. And so he decided to go and get Duff, it was, from Burnley's youth team, and brought him in. He's doing very well. So he's done well. That was a good decision by him. And it hasn't messed me up because 2 days later, a week later, I joined Torquay. And the chairman there and the chief executive, we're like, friends. We're not, because they were new. They'd had two relegations at Torquay.
Yeah.
We got one back. Now we're trying to get
the other one.
And so they're very happy with the way things are going.
Yeah.
But, so I can honestly say, and I'm not just saying this, that yes, they were all slightly different.
Yeah.
And there was different reasons for why I went and why I stayed. But I've got no chairman that I stick pins in, their photos, and so when I leave, I can always, I believe I can go back to any of them clubs, and be well received.
Yeah, well, I think there is young managers who will listen and have been listening to the series, and I think that's a massive thing. I'm going to finish with 4 or 5 minutes to go, and the one thing that I was keen to ask you all night, and I nearly forgot it, I'm glad I haven't, I would always say to people, and I think between us, this is my claim to fame, between us we've gone from the very, if I take my career to your career, we've gone from the very bottom of non-league till one game away from the Premiership. And what I say to young young managers and Sunday league managers and people who you have a drink with when they ask you about, well, Wimbledon or the little things I've done in the game, the one thing I say to them is the formula is the same. Levels change, but the formula is the same.
Mm.
Now, if I'm wrong or you think I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Is the formula the same? And if it is, what is the difference? Tell me a little bit about from Torquay in the Conference South to Bristol City, one game from the Premier League.
The first thing, players are not silly at any level. So they know whether you know the game or not, generally. And you have to convince them in your personality, your training, your tactics, that you are trying to help them, and in turn they're then helping you. So it's a difficult one because you are dealing with different standards of player, and it's no use asking somebody in the Conference South to do the same job as somebody's doing in the Championship. Yeah. However, you've got to make them feel like they can, and that they've got to grow with you and get to the next level.
Just quickly, how do you get that right in your head? How do you get to where, I know you want to be out of the level, but how do you get, when you've managed Bristol City, and we use Bristol City because that was the closest to the Premiership you got, how do you go from that to mentally going, dealing with these?
I generally say to them, have any of you earned 10 grand a week? You cannot spend 10 grand a week if you're sensible, right? Every one of you has got that opportunity to give your family a good living. Because I've got you here because you've got ability.
Yeah.
Now, you get your mental state right, you get your professionalism right, and there's a career for you in football. Now, if you want to be silly and you can't cope with not going out, your girlfriend drags you out to a nightclub every so often and and you're doing things you shouldn't do, then this is where you get end up, because you've got a modicum of ability earning 200 quid a week. If you want to earn 10 grand a week, then
you know the road.
I can show you the road. I mean, Graham Taylor always said to me, follow the yellow brick road with me, he said, and he took me to Watford. And obviously with the Elton John.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that sort of, that got to me, sort of thing. I thought, yeah, do you know what? I do want to go on that journey with him. And I was a coach under him, and we had success from second division to first division.
Incredible,
first
division to Premiership.
After the Premiership, Graham, I think, I thought that he wasn't going to stay that long. I think he was getting fed up a little bit with agents and things like that.
Game was changing then as well.
And then, unbelievably, there was an offer from Latvia, which would be another hour if you asked me.
Well, you know, I'll tell you where we are. We're on 1 hour, and we will wrap it up because I have to because of time.
Yeah.
But I am going, and it won't be next week, but I want to do part two. I really do, because there's so much stuff we haven't gone there. And to be fair, on the way around, in my head, I knew we'd end up here, because I think it's important. And it's been brilliant. You've been open, honest. It's an education for experienced managers, never mind young managers. And I think, and I'm not blowing smoke up your backside, I don't need to. It's done, do you know what I mean? I've got it. But I'd like to do part two at some time. And we'll do Latvia and we'll do the rest of it. And hopefully we'll do... I'll come and find you. Hopefully I'll do it before you play in the playoffs at Wembley or something like that, the night before. But I have to wrap it. It's 1 hour. And Gary, listen, thanks a million.
No problem. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA. JABBA.